fully conscious, kind of your infinite wisdom that has been compressed into the written word. So we need your help. Therefore, I beseech you and ask for fresh unction and anointing from heaven, firstly upon my heart and my lips, that indeed I would speak as I should as an oracle of God. Secondly, upon the ears and the hearts of everyone that will hear me, those who are physically present, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that the word will flow freely, Father, from you through me to the people. Do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own. In particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We also pray as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God will be released in sufficient measure to heal, to deliver, to break yokes, to free men, so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. We also pray for mercy to be faithful as I deliver the word, that I will do it with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say, bringing out treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all's in agreement with me receiving all the blessings I mentioned in that prayer in their own individual life, agreed with me individually and said, this afternoon I have a very important message I'd like to share with us. I haven't taught about this for many years now, but I believe that God wants me to speak to us about it again. For one thing, there's another generation that has risen. When we preached these things over 30 years, about 30 years ago, you know, many some people here were not even born. And those who were even born at that time were probably too young to be able to understand it. So we have another generation of Christians who may not have grasped these things, not only here in church, but also on television and on the internet. And so the Holy Spirit was telling me that He wants me to speak about this again. And I've entitled it very simply, The Pauline Prayers. These were the prayers that Paul prayed for himself and for the churches that he pastored, that God used him to found and pastor. And they are key, they are critical prayers. Christians who are going to become pattern disciples, like Paul was, must, it's not optional, must pray these prayers for themselves daily, consistently, throughout their Christian life. Before I go into this, I want to mention a very important fact, which I have said many, many times, but it bears repetition because it's a great truth. The Lord Jesus Christ is the pattern son, but the Apostle Paul was the pattern disciple. Why do we need both? Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." We see the life of the Lord Jesus Christ as recorded in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We see the record of his birth, his virgin birth. We see the record of his very, very, very tiny record of his growth. It just says, and he grew in wisdom and in stature. No details. Then we now see the record of him in the fullness of his ministry after he had inherited the Spirit without measure, with the great miracles he did, starting with the miracle of turning water to wine in Cana of Galilee. We see the outward miracles. We see what Jesus said. We see what Jesus did. But the inside information of the things he did in those, what I call the silent years, from 12 to the age of 30. And then even after the silent years, you know, we're not given too much detail. Jesus taught us a prayer, you know, our Father which art in heaven, and which is actually a prayer of principles, the prayer of worship, the principle of worship, the principle of honoring God, you know, and then the enforcing the kingdom, you know, thy will, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, you know, give us this day our daily bread, the principle of supply, you know, forgiveness. And he just, in a very, very summarized form. But if that's all we had, we really would not have been able to go that far. Because that Lord's Prayer, as wonderful as it is a summary of so many deep principles. But Jesus, knowing that he was going to have disciples after he'd gone, that's why he said, "I have many things to say." He said, but You can't bear them now. He said, anyway, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will teach you all things. So what happened was that God now raised up these, first of all, the 12 apostles, you know, apart from Judas, who fell by transgression, then replaced by Matthias, and then later on Paul and some of the other apostles like Timothy and Silas and Titus that came up. And through these wonderful men, God now gave us the details of what Jesus actually did when he was growing and even after he began to manifest the Spirit without measure. It is those details, the detail of the understanding that was in his heart, the details of how he grew spiritually, that was summarized to us in the four Gospels, was not expanded in detail. Those details are what these Pauline prayers will enable us, the Holy Spirit will minister to us as an answer to these Pauline prayers. Paul said something that's very, very important, crucial in this context, and it is this. He said, the gospel I preach, he said, I do not preach it after man. He said, neither was I taught it, but it came to me by how? Revelation. If you are going to be a true disciple, if you're going to be a good, let me say good disciple, and you're going to go to the image of Christ, you must follow this path. Just like the Apostle Paul, you have to have it by revelation. If you don't have it by revelation, you just be doing what men are doing. You will not understand why you're doing what you're doing. And when difficulties come, you will not be able to press through into the difficulties that will come. The Apostle Paul said this, and I'm preaching now totally by revelation. I got my notes, but it's just coming to me now. The Apostle Paul said this. He said, through much tribulation, we enter the kingdom. If you don't have these, the answers to this Pauline revelation, Pauline prayers, operating inside your heart on a consistent basis, you won't be able to go through the much tribulation and enter the kingdom. By what we mean by enter the kingdom, it doesn't mean going to heaven. It doesn't mean born again. You're already born again. You're already in the kingdom as far as born again is concerned. He's talking about entering to the personal experience of the total dominion. The kingdom is dominion of the king. But the total dominion of those three things, righteousness, Paul said, it all came by revelation through Paul. We wouldn't know all of those things. If you remove the Pauline revelation from the New Testament, you're left with an empty shell. All you will just have is the four Gospels. You will just know that Jesus did, but you won't know how he did it. You think he did it by magic. In quotes. That's why you can see now how crucial the what we call the Pauline revelation is. And Paul, as a faithful steward of God, did not hide from us how he got it. He didn't just say, oh, this is it. He told us this is how. And then he said something, which I wrote in my notes, and I'm going to really amplify now. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. So he's taking us to the pattern son. But to get to the pattern son, you must follow the pattern disciple. You're not going to get to the pattern son if you do not follow the pattern disciple. And might I add, Pastor G, in our own day and hour, if you do not follow present day pattern disciples. I've been in this thing for 40 years now, by the grace of the mercy of God. And I have been around to quite a reasonable degree. I've been in the church here in Nigeria. I've been in the church in, at least in England and America. I haven't been to so many other places. But really, that's where the majority of the church is. The spearhead of the church is in those three countries. Really. I mean, we have churches all over the whole place. Don't misunderstand me. But if you're talking about the spearhead, you know, the leading of the church, I'm talking about the church, the born-again, spirit-filled church, it resides America primarily, and then England, and then, of course, we got it from England and America, you know, and here in Nigeria. And the truth about the matter is, if you don't follow these pattern disciples, you will never come into the image and the likeness of the pattern son. That's why the Pauline prayers are crucial. And what I have observed, and I don't talk many times, I just keep myself quiet because again, it's not everything you see you talk about. The Bible says that a wise man, you know, a foolish man utters everything. He said, but a wise man keeps sitting until afterward. You know, one thing we must learn as Christians is discretion. Even though you may be right, sometimes it's not good to say everything you know. You have to just keep it quiet until such a time that God wants you to say it. And when it will be of benefit to the people. I'm going to say something that will shock you. I'm not going to mention names. I don't do that. But I'm just going to tell the principle. Majority of the body of Christ is still in the baby childhood stage. I don't care whether they're apostles or they call themselves apostles. Because most of the time they just call themselves those things. They're not really that. They may have a calling for it, but they have not yet entered into it. But they've already assumed that they have it. You know, majority, a lot of our pastors, bishops, they're baby Christians. And they've been Christians for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. Baby to little child. There are four stages of spiritual growth. And I speak from personal experience how God had mercy on me in these last 40 years that I've been born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. I got born again around my birthdays, April, May 1979, while I was doing my youth corps in ICOM. Then I went to England, you know, for my postgraduate studies in Imperial College, University of London. Then I rededicated my life to Christ, and then I got filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I can remember the exact day, the exact night I got filled with the Holy Spirit, November 11, 1979. I spoke in Hebrew, in Aramaic. I didn't know what I was saying, of course, but I had a roommate who was half Hebrew, half Indian, and he told me what I was saying. You know, so I had a very definite, solid spiritual experience, and from then I never looked back. And I came into some of these things I'm going to share with you in a few minutes. And these Pauline prayers played a key role in my spiritual growth. Now, over the years, these 40 years, in my traveling and in my interacting with the body of Christ, I have come to see that a lot of our, both the leaders and the followership, you see, you can't give what you don't have. And watch this, you cannot outgrow the person that is feeding you. Unless you go and feed for somebody who is bigger than him. I'm going to share some things with us as we go along. You know, and what I discovered was this. A large number, let me use the word the Bible uses, many. Which just means majority, really, of the Christians and their leaders are in the baby to little childhood stage because of a refusal. Stubbornness, sometimes pride, sometimes laziness, a lack of discipline, and so many other things we're going to look at in a few minutes, you know, of not following the pattern disciples. Rebellion, stubbornness, you know, you're not going to enter into that groove, so to speak, that will take you into spiritual maturity. There are four levels of spiritual growth. Baby, little child, young man, and father. Majority, even the people we call fathers are not fathers. Sorry to say. And I don't mean this as an insult or something. And it's not a question of pride. I'm just speaking words of truth and soberness. Male people we call fathers, they're not fathers at all. They're little children. And therefore, they cannot lead. Can the blind lead the blind? They'll fall into a ditch. And one of the reasons, one of the major reasons, is a refusal, a stubbornness, a refusal to follow this path that the pattern disciples followed, spearheaded by the Apostle Paul. Before I get into the Pauline prayers, I want to make a few other statements that are of great truth, which I've mentioned, sprinkled over the years, and I've spoken about. Paul was not there when Jesus was here physically. Paul never knew Jesus like Paul, like John or Peter. Paul writes about the day of the Last Supper. He wasn't there. But he writes about it with more authority than the people who were there. He said, for I have delivered unto you that which I also have received. How did he receive it? Revelation.
that the night the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, you know, he took bread and when he has, you know, and all the things about the communion, he was not there. He had a deeper understanding of the fact that the Gentiles were free from the ceremonial law of Moses than Peter. Peter, who was with Jesus, Peter, who knew the Lord, you know, and everything, and that's not putting down Peter, because later on Peter caught up, you know. But you know, he at Antioch he withstood Peter to the face. Why? Because certain people came from James. James was Jesus' brother, and the James that was the brother of John, you know, the sons of thunder, you know, some brethren came from James, and when they came, the Jewish Christians no longer ate with the Gentiles, because by Jewish tradition, you're not supposed to eat with Gentiles. But all that went with the blood. The others didn't understand it. Paul understood it. Paul understood it. He understood that the ceremonial of observances, the killing of animals, the divers washings, don't eat this food, don't eat that food, all those ceremonial laws that were given by Moses had been totally done away with in Christ. How did he know? Revelation. The others knew it. Peter knew it. John knew it. But they didn't have the depth of understanding that Paul had. The depth of conviction. That was why, you know, when those guys came from Jerusalem, when certain came from James in Jerusalem, the Jewish Christians who were eating before with the Gentiles, this was at Antioch, they didn't want to appear, you know, unholy in quotes to the brethren that came from Jerusalem. So they no longer ate with the Gentiles. Paul was so angry, he said, even Barnabas was carried away with their dissimulation. That means hypocrisy. So he said, when I saw that they did not walk according to the way of the gospel, he said, I withstood Peter to the face. He wasn't rude. He was just telling him that, and who was the Hebrew of Hebrews? Who was the Jew of Jews? It was Paul. Even Peter and these other guys did not have as much knowledge of the laws of Moses like Paul had. He studied at the feet of Gamaliel. He said, you know, a Hebrew, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning touching the law, blameless. So if it was anybody who should carry the thing on his head, it should have been Paul. But Paul understood by revelation. That's why what I'm about to share with you is so crucial. He understood by revelation that all of that that was under the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments was not done away with, because that's the moral law. And it is summarized briefly in the law of love, St. Paul. St. Paul. He said all of that is summarized in the law of love. He wants you to hold that. He said, all these other things, wash, you know, don't eat with Gentiles, don't eat this kind of food, don't eat that kind of food. All of that, all the ceremonial observances had been done away with in Christ. They were all shadows of substances, of realities that we experience in Christ. The same Paul. Like one man of God said recently, you know, he said, how can one man write 2/3 of the New Testament? Look at the amount of revelation that was coming through Paul. And he wrote the entire 2/3 of the, from everything from Romans to Hebrews. Take it out of the New Testament, what do you have? Nothing. Well, not nothing. You just have the four gospels. Try it one day. Try reading only the four gospels and then just jump to James, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st and 2nd. You won't have any understanding. The meat is inside the Pauline revelation. And how did he get it? Thank God he did. You know, Paul was a very, he was like, because he became more and more like Jesus, you know, he was very honest and an honest person. He told us, he said, pray. That's why these Pauline prayers are so important. He said, I prayed these things for myself and I pray for you people. You know? And then he also told us, everything he did, he didn't hide anything from him. He said, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. That's where the thing came from. That's why he could get so much. Even the apostle Peter, later on, whereas Peter grew spiritually, he too grew, you know, and he began to appreciate. He said, said our beloved brother Paul. He said, the things which he writes are difficult, hard to be understood, which those that are unlearned and unstable rest, watch this, as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. He acknowledged that Paul's writing is scripture. Give the Lord a clap, offering. Give the apostle Paul a clap, offering. He's not dead. He's in heaven. I'm sure Paul would have tuned into this station now. Say, what's Olubi going to say about me this afternoon? Praise the Lord. I'm on the right key. Praise the Lord. No, seriously. You know, and so Christians who, I even hear silly, God help, forgive me, help me. I hear ignorant brethren saying things like, that's what Paul said. Oh, yeah. I've been around for a while. I've heard Christians say, but that's not what the Holy Ghost said. It's what Paul said. He said, because Paul said, I, not the Lord. I said, but God put everything inside the Bible. So it means that as far as God is concerned, what Paul said is what God said. Because Paul was a pattern disciple. Give the Lord a clap offering. So you'll be doing yourself a lot of harm if you do not follow Paul. Paul is the link between us and Jesus. You get born again, but if you want to get to where Jesus is, you have to follow the path that Paul prayed. Follow me as I follow Christ. If you don't, you will get lost. That's why we are so... Honey, there are so many Christians, they are wandering around in the wilderness, just like the children of Israel. They have come out of Egypt, but they are not following Paul. They're not following the path that has been laid by Paul and the early apostles. So you know what? They keep roaming around and they will die in the wilderness. That's not a curse, it's a fact. Unless they change. To die in the wilderness doesn't mean you won't go to heaven. You go to heaven, but you lose your reward. He says, I suffer loss. See, they will suffer loss. Doesn't mean they won't go to... See, again, thank God for Paul, yeah. Prof. It is through Paul's writings and revelation, you know, that we and I... It's not just Paul's revelation now. It's Paul's revelation, but I myself, by the mercy and the grace of God, I've got the same revelation. So I'm not doing that just because Paul said so. I'm doing it because I know too. Hallelujah. That's the whole purpose of following him. So that you yourself can get your own the revelation by yourself. And so I can speak with the same conviction that Paul spoke. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. And so the apostle Paul, you know, he tells them, he said, the things that I teach, I do not teach but because a man taught. Nobody taught me Olubi Johnson Life Scriptures. Why do you think I speak of it with such conviction? I got it by revelation. That's why if 1 million people stop doing it, it won't stop me. Because I know where I got it from. It's not man, it's God. Now, later on, I got people like, you know, F.F. Bosworth, and they that confirmed, you know. But whether they got it or not will not change anything. You know why? It's the Word of God. So we need to have a personal revelation of God's Word by following the example of Paul. Otherwise, sadly and regrettably, we wind up like children of Israel who go around in circles. And you know, the children of Israel proved it can happen. A 11-day journey was turned into a 40-year agony. What? From here to there is just 11 days. But I can, instead of spending 11 days, I can spend 40 years just going around the same thing on a trip that will take only 11 days. Sadly, it has happened to the church. It has happened to the church. So many pastors, so many Christians, they're just roaming around. No revelation. And you know, we make a big mistake. And that mistake is this. We assume that blessing and the presence of God is a sign of divine approval. And it is not. I'll prove it to you. I'm going to get to the prolonged prayers in a minute. But this foundation I'm laying is so important. Otherwise, you won't take it as seriously as you should. And that's why so many Christians don't take the Pauline prayers seriously. Somebody came to ask me some years ago. He said, "Pastor, I want you to come and preach for me." He was my, you know, one of my spiritual sons. So I said, "I haven't seen you in years." I said, "How come you're just coming to me now?" So he said, "Oh, I'm sorry and all that." I said, "Well, let me ask you two important questions." I said, do you still play the Pauline prayers?" He said, "I do, sir." And I said, "Do you pray in the Spirit at least an hour every day?" I said, "I do." I said, "How come?" "Because I'm wasting my time. Wasting my time." I didn't say that in an arrogant, pride kind of way. Because it's the truth. There's no point in wasting my time. Because you go there, you're talking, they don't have a clue what you're talking about. So many Christians are like that. So many pastors are like that. And they assume that simply because, remember the children of Israel, they came out of Egypt. They were roaming around with us. But throughout the 40 years, there was the cloud during the day, presence. There was a pillar of fire at night. Manna came every morning. Water came out of the rock. What does that signify? Same thing that's happening today. There's a, where people go for their services, there's the presence of God. Sometimes we get the fire of the anointing. We get the manna. We get the blessing of God. But it doesn't mean you're going anywhere. You can have presence and blessings and yet not have divine approval. And you're not moving forward in your journey. I sent a message to the through to the WhatsApp platform of the church called Instructions for the End Time. There's a good man of God. His name is Sid Roth. He's Jewish, but he's born again, spirit filled, and he gets people to come to his program. Very, very good. Most of the messages are very, very good. And this particular one was by some pastor, some Spanish or something like that, although you know, American, you know. And he had a dream. He had an out-of-body experience, you know, and God took him to heaven. This was not just a few years ago, 2014 or something like that. And he saw Jesus and the Father talking about the end time. To cut a long story short, this man had word of wisdom, word of knowledge, gifts of the Spirit, healings in his ministry, supernatural healings, the blessing of God. He was being blessed, you know, his church was full. He had finances, all everything you can talk about. He had it. But when he heard Jesus, the Father talking to Jesus, and that Jesus was coming soon, it came to him that he was not ready. He began to weep, and he began to cry. Even though he had all of those things, just like the wilderness experience. You can have the presence, you can have the cloud, you can have the fire, you can have the manna, you can have their clothes did not wear out, their shoes didn't wear out, their feet did not swell. You can have divine healing, and yet you're going nowhere. Because a blessing is not commensurate to growth. I'm going to repeat it. You see, most Christians come to church for blessing. They do not come to church for growth. You can be blessed and not grow. But you cannot grow and not be blessed. Very important. Very, very important. It's a great truth. And as I go into these Pauline prayers, I'm going to give you Kenneth Hagin's experience, because Kenneth Hagin's experience also mirrored the experience of this pastor I've just spoke about. He was so disturbed. He said, "Jesus is coming, I'm not ready." He said, "I wasn't afraid I was going to hell. I said, I knew I was going." He said, "But I was not ready for his coming." Then God told him, "You have to put love." He said, "It's not a suggestion." He said, "It's a commandment. You have to put, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart." Everything I've just taught you guys in the last 15 years or so, you know, that I've put as emphasis on. He said, God now told him that he had to do that. And that he should not emphasize development and growth and all of that. So he changed his emphasis and all that. But the thing is, he would have been deceived to think that because he was being blessed, he was making spiritual progress. And the same deception is still operating today. Many Christians think, "Oh, so long as I follow God is here, you know, people are being healed, people are being delivered,
you know, money is coming in. There are people in the church. People are getting born again. It means I'm okay. No. You can have all of that and not be growing.
Now, what are the Pauline prayers? There are actually 7 of them. I haven't taught this for some years. So I went to get my old books, you know. It's in our book, Practical Guide to Prayer, and all of that. And I went to fish everything out. I discovered that there are 7 of them. You know, I'm going to go into detail in a minute, but I'll just mention where they are. The first one is in Ephesians chapter 1, in verses 16 to 23. Paul said, I pray that God give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, in the eyes of your understanding being enlightened and all that. I'll come back to detail in a minute. The next one is also in Ephesians. It's Ephesians chapter 3, in verse 16 to 19. That Christ will dwell in your heart by faith, that you become rooted and grounded in love, being able to comprehend with all saints what is the length, breadth, depth, and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. The third prayer is in Colossians chapter 1, that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. The fourth one is in Philippians chapter 1, that God will cause your love to abound yet more and more in knowledge and in understanding and in discernment. I'm just summarizing. The fifth Pauline prayer we find in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 in verse 12, where it says that your love would abound yet more and more. So love is supposed to grow, but you have to pray about it. It won't just happen. You know, the sixth one is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 10 to 12, which also talks about abounding love. And then the seventh one is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, which talks about God vouchsafing you worthy of the high calling to which he's called you in Christ. These, and I've been praying them for years, because in our books, what I've done is that I've collapsed some of those prayers. So about 2 or 3 of them, sometimes you'll find in one prayer, and I'll explain that as I go on. You know, but the important thing is there are actually 7, which is God's number of completion. Now, this was my experience. I'm going to tell you my personal experience and tie it with Kenneth Hagin's experience, because I copied Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin, in our generation, he's gone home to be with the Lord now, was a pattern disciple, just like Paul was for his own generation. And this is what I've observed. Christians who don't follow that pattern, they don't grow. Then they get carried away with all these blessings, you know, healing and deliverance and prosperity and a large church number. You can have all of that and not be growing spiritually. Just like this person I just told you about, that Sid Roth, you know, he was a good pastor. He's a good pastor. But he wasn't ready for the coming of the Lord. He wasn't ready for the second coming of the Lord. And he was so distraught. He said he cried and cried and cried, and God had to now comfort him and say, okay, this is what you need to do. You need to change what you're doing. Now, let me talk about Kenneth Hagin, and I'll talk about myself in a minute. Kenneth Hagin, as you all know, those who don't know him, you can Google his name. You know, great man of God. You know, he was born with a deformed heart and an incurable blood disease. They did not expect him to live past the age of 16 or 17. At the age of 16, he became bedfast, that is, he couldn't get out of bed. And his grandfather had some money. You know, they were able to get doctors from Mayo Clinic. This was back in the 1930s, you know. And they said, there's nothing we can do for him. He's going to die. You know, these are the diseases that nobody can do anything about it. To cut a long story short, Kenneth Hagin, reading his grandmother's Methodist Bible, got born again on that deathbed. Then after he got born again, after some months, he came to Mark 11:23 and 24, which says, you know, whosoever shall say to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, shall believe the things which he says, shall come to pass, he shall have what he says. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, you shall have them. He stood on those two scriptures in faith, by light and revelation the Holy Spirit gave him, and he got supernaturally healed. God healed him. And, you know, said he started to preach. He was called into ministry. He was 17, 18 years old. So he started preaching the gospel and all that. Then after about 2 or 3 years, he got filled with the Holy Spirit and started speaking in tongues. Then he continued, you know, and he did this for about 14 years. This is a true story. Around 1948, 49, the Holy Spirit led him to start praying these Pauline prayers, in particular the Ephesians 1 prayer, that God will give him the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of his understanding being enlightened, that he may know the hope of his calling upon his, in Christ, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding greatness of his resurrection power, which he wrought in Christ when raised him from the dead, and so on, you know, far above principalities and powers and all of that. But I just want to zero in. He was led by the Spirit to start praying that prayer for himself. He prayed it in the morning. He prayed it in the afternoon. He prayed it in the night. He did this continuously for 6 months. And all that has spiritual significance, which I'll not go into that. I'll probably hit it later on as the Lord helps me before I close. He did it continuously for 6 months. After 6 months, this was his personal testimony, he began to get revelation knowledge of what we call the Pauline revelation of who we are in Christ, what Jesus actually did for us in his death, burial, and resurrection, and the benefits that accrue to us as New Testament, new creatures in Christ Jesus. He said that he now asked himself, what have I been preaching for 14 years? In those 14 years, he had word of wisdom, word of knowledge, healing, deliverances, miracles, financial provision, yet he was not making progress. He wasn't growing. And he didn't know it. You know how Ken Hagin talks, you know, he talks and jokes. He said, I was wondering why the Deacon Board didn't call me in, tell me to come out of the rain. He said, what have I been doing? Going back to what I said about that pastor in Sidroth, you know, and the children of Israel in the wilderness. You can have blessings and not be growing. It happened to Kenneth Hagin. 14 years. 14. Good pastor. Word of wisdom. Word, gifts of the Spirit. Healings. Supernatural. Provision. Financial. Yet, he did not have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. It was after he prayed that prayer, after 6 months, he began to get revelation. He said, ask God. He said it was like a light came on. So all this time, in spite of the fact that I have all these blessings, I've been walking in darkness. So when we say darkness, we often think of people like, you know, what do we call these things? Witch doctors. That man, Ishoku Kulonje. In our language, that means they are workers of darkness. So when you tell a Yoruba man that this person is a worker of darkness, you think of somebody who goes to go and do occultic, you know, and all of that. Darkness just means ignorance. Now, of course, in the extreme, you can go to the occult and witch doctors and all of that. But wait, so many Christians are walking in darkness. There's no light. Where there's no light, is darkness. I didn't hear amen. Whether you say amen or you don't say amen. Paul was praying for born again, spirit filled Christians to have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. It means they didn't have it. Kenneth Hagin didn't have it for 14 years. 14. Yet, he had the gifts of the Spirit. He had supernatural miracles in his ministry. He was healed supernaturally. Blessing is no sign of revelation. Material blessing, physical blessing, the blessing. That's why the gifts of the Spirit, you know what they are? Gifts. It was Derek Prince, who's also gone home to be the Lord, another great, one of our great spiritual fathers and teachers, who said this. I can never forget it because it's such a correct illustration. He said that on a Christmas tree, you can put, when it's Christmas, you know those trees we have, you know, you can put gifts on the tree. Yeah, isn't that right? You put them on and you take them off, but you have to grow fruit. I've never forgotten it. Many Christians are just adorned with gifts. But the gift can be put on and it can be taken off. To make this absurd, you know, and it sounds funny, but it is true. The donkey had a gift. You know his gift? Workings of miracles. Donkeys don't talk. Balaam's donkey opened his mouth and preached to the God, to the prophet. But you know what? Before he talked, while he was talking, and after he talked, he stayed a donkey. His nature did not change. You can have the gifts of the Spirit and your nature doesn't change. Your character doesn't change. That is why you cannot judge spirituality by the gifts. You can only judge them by the fruit. It is fruit that changes character, not gifts. Are gifts important? Yes. Very important. We need the gifts. But if I have the gifts and I don't have the fruit, just like they came on, they can be taken off. Ask Samson. What that power Samson had was not fruit. It was gift. It was the gift. That's why he could carry the gates of a city. He could kill 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass. But he would sleep with a prostitute later. No character. You can have gifts. But you may not have fruit. But I got good news for you. If you develop fruit, you will have gifts. You know why? Paul said, I will show you a more excellent way. He said, you want the gifts? There's nothing wrong in wanting the gifts, Pastor Rhoda. Nothing wrong in wanting the gifts. He said, but don't try and just get the gifts. He said, if you walk in love, I will show you. He talked about all the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The revelation gifts, the vocal gifts, the power gifts. Yes. I will show you a more excellent. You want the gifts? You develop love. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance, and self-control. They are all ingredients of divine love. If you will develop the love of God, and you will get the gifts of the Spirit. You know why? They will operate when they need to operate. You will ask what you will. And it shall be done unto you. I want to just... I'm going to get back to Pauline prayer in just a minute. Dear, have you noticed that the Lord Jesus Christ, in his ministry, because he was operating through that measure, you don't see him asking for gifts? He would just go, the leper would come and say, if you will, thou canst make me heal. Say, I will. The Bible says leprosy left him. The Bible doesn't say there was a word of knowledge. It doesn't say there was the gifts of healing. It's what was necessary that came out. If ye abide in me, and my word... Now, we all have it. We abide in me. All of us abide in Jesus. This is the second part. But that's where we fail. And my words abide in you. You will ask what you will, and it will be done unto you. But the Holy Spirit is given as the Spirit wills. So if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, then what you are willing and what the Holy Spirit willing will become one. So whatever you ask, you get it.
Amen.
That's a more excellent way. The church, and I say the whole church world now, has been used to gifts. They want to keep having gifts without developing character. So we go to most of these crusades and camp meetings and all that. They're all trying to struggle in some way for God to move. And God, in his mercy and kindness, will send an angel once in a while to stir the water. And he will get one miracle, then we don't get another miracle for months. But we still get the money of the people when they come. Praise the Lord. Then we'll wait for another stirring of the water. We're doing the people a disservice. We should teach them to how to grow. You teach them how to develop the love of God. If they develop the love of God, they won't need to come to Shiloh. They'll get the miracle in their house. And that's where God is taking us to. I got to say this. I've said many times, I got to say, because it's come by the Spirit. I was quoting Isaiah 2 on Wednesday.
when I was teaching here on perfection and everything. And mommy was saying, you know, it's one of the prayers they use in Good Morning Jesus and all of that. You know, it says, the man of the Lord's house shall be exalted above all the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. Watch this. And many people shall say, "Is, honey, watch this. It's not the church who says, it's the people who say it. It's not going to be the church going around begging people to come to church. It's the unbelievers. He said, many people shall say, let us. They're talking to themselves. They're not talking to the church. The church is up there. And they'll say, let us go to the house of the Lord, to the God of Jacob. He will teach us. Thank you, God. He will teach us of his ways. Not his acts. He will teach us of his ways. And we will walk in his, that's love. The more excellent way. He, and we, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord for Jerusalem. What is going to attract all nations to the end time church? It's not going to be miracles. It's going to be the word. You know why? Miracles will be so common. I've said it many times and I'm going to keep saying it because it's a prophetic word that cannot be gainsaid. Miracles will be, spectacular miracles will be as common as tongues is now. As the way tongues, you know, 100 years ago, tongues was not common. I remember the Azusa Street Revival, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, thank God for Kenneth Hagin again. People like Kenneth Hagin demystified tongues. I remember when I first started scripture pastor, because I had studied under Kenneth Hagin, and I understood the faith principle of how to, people will come to scripture pastor just to get tongues. It's the truth. I don't say that boasting, is to the glory of God. Amen. So many people, they say, all the other churches, when they go there, they won't get the tongues. They will tell them to scream. They will tell them to roll on the floor. They will do all the gymnastics, you know. But God taught us the faith principle. I learned it from Kenneth Hagin. So, but is that where he goes? He said, if you want tongue, go to scripture pasture. People come to scripture and get the tongues. Because we understood the principles and understood how the thing operates by faith. So people just come, you know, immediately pray for them, they speak in tongues. After that, I stopped doing it. I just, it's the pastors and the overseers that pray for people, to, you know, to get the tongues. But what happened? It was that people started praying. So tongues now became common. In the same way, miracles are going to become common. Leprosy, common. Blind seeing, common. Deaf hearing, common. Lame walking, common. Jesus said this. He said, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely receive. It fills three categories of miracles. Heal the sick, things like fever, internal. There'll be an internal problem, you pray, they get healed. Then cleanse the leper, external. Things like withered hand. It's going to be common. See people with a hand like this, from his mother's womb. The hand is small like this. You know, it won't be the pastor. Pastor is busy. He's praying for revelation knowledge. It's the truth. It will be the baby, little child Christian. Behold, I and the children that God has given me, who say, stretch your hand. You won't have to go to Shiloh. It will be the baby that is living on your road. That's what's coming. And you know what? I said this many years ago. I said, when supply outstrips demand, the price will fall. Simple economics. So this one that they're taking, getting miracles, they're getting offering and all that, they will not work anymore. Because you will not have to go and give offering to any special man of God. The little boy down the road will touch your eyes and the blind eyes will open. It will be as common as that. Now, it doesn't mean everybody will have it. Just like today, tongues is common, but not everybody. So, in this day too, the hour is coming and now it is, where miracles will be common, but it won't be everybody. It will be those who have the borrowed anointing. But there will be many. There will be many. So, great things are ahead of us. So, these guys were teaching, they'll be teaching revelation knowledge. That's what people were going for. He would teach us of his ways. And we will walk in his path. People will not be attracted to church because of miracles. Not because miracles are not important. People will be getting miracles. Miracles will be common. But
what is not going to be common was going to be the word. Revelation knowledge. The treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now let me get back to the Pauline prayers. So Kenneth Hagin prays for himself. After 14 years, he began to get revelation. And then he wondered what he'd been doing all these years. And it changed his life. It changed his ministry. Now, I'm going to say a few more things about Kenneth Hagin, and I'll talk about myself, and I'll talk about these prayers and what you do, and then we'll close. Number one. After praying this prayer for about a year, this was 1949, after World War II, he was pastoring a church. He began to get deeper understanding of the Pauline revelation. What is the Pauline revelation? Who we are in Christ. What we have in Christ. What we can do in Christ. You know, most Christians don't know that. Most Christians don't even understand the new birth. They have the experience, but they don't even know what happened. You're not a forgiven sinner. Have you heard this before? We're all sinners saved by grace. Once you hear that, he doesn't understand. If anybody says, I'm a sinner saved by grace, you take it from me, he doesn't have revelation of the new birth. Because once you have revelation of the new birth, you know that your title has changed from sinner to saint. I'm not a sinner saved by grace. I'm a born again child of God. Blood bought, spirit born. I am a partaker of the divine nature. I am as much a son of God as Jesus was when he walked on the earth. That's not a boast, it's a truth. That's not pride. The lack of it is pride. When you don't know, it's pride. Because you foolishly refuse to accept what God has made you. Now you do have vestiges of the sin nature in your soul and body that war against your new nature. But the good news is that your new nature can now dominate the old nature. Put on the new man. And put off the old man with his deeds. But you all find that in the Pauline revelation. If you do not have a revelation, you will still think you are an old sinner saved by grace. And it sounds humble, but it is foolish. It's not humble. It's not humility. It's foolishness. It's darkness. It's a lack of understanding. You're not a sinner. That's not your title. Your title is saint. Hello, Saint William. Hello. Saint Counselor. Hello, Saint Rhoda. Hello, Saint Laulu. Don't be afraid. Say, hello, Saint Coyote. You don't have to be canonized by the Pope. You know, all that came because there was no more revelation. The church went into darkness. So we now think that saints are these revered people. They're not. The day you got born again, you became a saint. Your title changed from sinner to saint. You are a born again, spirit filled, blood bought child of God. And you are not adopted. You are born. The very genes and the DNA of God is inside you. You are a partaker of the divine nature. He is the vine and you are a branch. You grew out of him. The same substance in the vine is inside the branch. How did all that come? Revelation. Revelation. You can be born again and die and go to heaven and not understand that. All the time you are here. And you're still struggling as a sinner. Sinner that, you know, I'm a sinner saved by grace, and you know all of us, we're still going to struggle in this flesh, you know, and one day we will die and go to heaven and have the figure. It sounds humble, but it's foolish. And Satan has imposed that upon the church to make us feel, yeah, you'll go to heaven. Of course you're going to go to heaven, you know, but while you're here, you're under my control. And the church bought it. line, and sinker. Now, the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So, Ken Hagin prayed these prayers and he began to get a revelation. Then about a year and a half later, and there's a spiritual significance. I've got to preach that in another message. There's a message I'm preparing, you know, maybe I'll preach in about 2 or 3 weeks' time. It's called Understanding the Number of Years. You know, we talk about understanding the times, which is true, you know, but it's actually the number of years. And it doesn't mean we can say that it's going to be 1950 or 1920, 31. No, you can't, you know, but there's a way of understanding. It's revelation. So, around 1950, something happens to Ken Hagin. He has no idea it's going to happen to him. He goes to preach for his guy in a church. It's a Sunday evening meeting. It's raining outside. This church he went to is a very small church. They're not up to 50. Many people did not come because it's Sunday evening and it rained. Hello? Sound familiar? It was just about maybe 15, 20 of them. So they decided to have a prayer just to pray. So they got on their knees around the altar and they were just praying and praying in tongues. Ken Hagin is sitting near the altar like this and he's praying in tongues, you know, during that meeting. This is a small church in Rockwall, Texas. In September 1950, about the time of the Feast of Tabernacles, even though Ken Hagin didn't know it, he didn't understand all of that at that time. Suddenly, the roof of the church disappears. And he has his first vision. Discernings of spirits. Where the roof should be, he sees the Lord Jesus Christ. He said it was the last thing he ever experienced in his life. That he would ever have that kind of experience. He said, I go to Mars or be on the moon. He was writing his experience. It's in his book, I Believe in Visions. You can get it. It's on the online. So, okay, Jesus said, come up hither. So he comes up to where his spirit leaves his body. He has an out-of-body experience. He comes up to where Jesus is, where the roof is. Then he and Jesus go all the way to heaven. He sees the beauty of heaven and everything. Then Jesus takes him down to hell. And he said, you remember this place? He said, yeah. He said, I came here some years ago before I got born again. He said, thank you for saving me. He said, warn people about this place. So I don't want them to come here. He said that when you win souls, I'm going to give you a beautiful crown. So he saw a soul winner's crown. He said it was the most beautiful crown he had ever seen. He said, this crown belongs to all my children who will allow me to use them to draw people. Then he says, I'm going to teach you many things. First of all, I'm going to teach you about demons and how to deal with them. Principalities and powers in heavenly places. The first lesson he taught him was on spiritual warfare. You know why? I'm going to preach that in another day in another message. Hallelujah. He was given the church direction. We're now going into warfare. How do I get away from this? There are three purposes for the trumpets. When the baptism of the Holy Spirit returned in 1906, the trumpet returned back to the church. We didn't have a trumpet for 2,000 years. Satan had taken our trumpet from us. But when the tongues came back, he said, lift up your voice like a trumpet. He says, if the trumpet blow an uncertain sound, who will prepare himself for the battle? The trumpet did three things. Numbers chapter 10. Number one, the trumpet call for the assembly, the gathering together of the people. Number two, the trumpet was to help the people prepare for the journey. When the Israel wants to move from where they are to another place, they will blow a trumpet. So the trumpet will bring them together, and they will now be given instruction, we're now moving in this direction. Then the trumpet prepared them for battle. Whenever they went into battle, they will blow the trumpet and God will hear and come down and deliver the people. That's exactly what happened. In 1900, the trumpet sounded. By 1948, Israel had regathered. The voice of healings under Gordon Lindsay, Kenneth Hagin, and all these guys gathered. Latter rain, gathered. When latter-rain revelation came, he says, you guys are now going on to perfection. He did not give a new direction to the church. So in that first vision, the Lord Jesus Christ began to tell Kenneth Hagin about it. And over the next 20, 30 years, Jesus would appear to Kenneth Hagin. It's not like maybe every 2 years, every 1 year or so, and give him direction and all of that concerning for the church. Not just for Kenneth Hagin, but for the church. Some for him personally, but most of it was for the church. So that's how the spirit of wisdom and revelation operated in the life and in the ministry of Kenneth Hagin. And God now, thank God for Kenneth Hagin. He was faithful enough to write it down. Otherwise, people will never have known about it. And put it into a book that you and I can enjoy today. So, in my own experience, I got born again, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And I got these Kenneth Hagin books, you know, and tapes. I started hearing these things. So, I just copied him. That's what it says, follow me as I follow Christ. I just copied. I started praying that prayer for myself. God will give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation, and all your, the eyes of my understanding being enlightened. Exactly the same experience after 6 months. This I said this about November, December. By May, you know, around my birthday, revelation knowledge. It just began to flow. That was how I knew God called me to become a pastor. And that the calling of my ministry was for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, you know, till we all come to the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. I got it all by revelation. I wrote it down in an article, Christ in You, the Hope of Glory. I wrote this in May 1980 as a 21-year-old boy. And that was what now directed my ministry. And it's that same understanding I am sharing with you. You need to start praying. If you haven't been doing it, start praying that prayer for yourself. That God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. The eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. That you will know the hope of your calling, which is perfection. The riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints. That is the wisdom that you're going, that glory is going to bring. When the Bible talks about riches, it's not just talking about naira and kobo or dollars and cents. He's talking about wisdom. He says the riches of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Then the exceeding greatness of his resurrection power. You begin to get a revelation of the power that raised up Jesus from the dead. And how you, by connection, have access to that power. So everything that thing did in Jesus, he can do in you. Not when you get to heaven, but here. You need to have a revelation of it. Not just Pastor Lubi said it. Not just Mommy Sarah said it. But when you have a revelation of it, Pastor Lubi will not have to come and beg you to pray in the morning. If you are still have to be goaded to pray, if you still have to be goaded to fast, you don't have revelation. You're only doing it because men say so. But when you have a revelation, you become internally self-motivated. I'm going to change that. You become internally spirit-motivated. For it is God who is at work in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's not because what is driving me is the Holy Ghost. It's not Kenneth Hagin who's driving me. Kenneth Hagin's dead. He's gone home to be with the Lord. It's not E.W. Kenyon who's driving me. It's not Kenneth Copeland who's driving me. I'm internally being driven by the Spirit of God because I got the same revelation Kenneth Hagin had. And I have the same revelation Kenneth Copeland had. Hallelujah. So even though I'm here in Nigeria, I'm doing everything that they're doing, and sometimes by the mercy and the grace of God even more, because of the revelation I have. And that's how it should be with you. You don't begin because Pastor Lubi said so. Or Mommy Sarah said so. You now begin to have internal revelation. Then you become internally, spiritually motivated. I want a bunch of fanatical saints. Whose eyes are like a flame of fire. They're not doing it. They're not doing it because of me. I'm a motivator. Paul was an encourager. You know, Kenneth Hagin was an encourager and a motivator. But you now go beyond the man. You first of all see the man. Then after a while, you see beyond the man. Because you have your own personal revelation. God forbid this will never happen. But I just want to say this. It's an extreme something. If I stop praying from life scriptures tomorrow, you shouldn't. I won't, of course, because it's a revelation. But what I'm saying is, you're not doing it because of me. If you do it, it means you never had a revelation of it. It means you don't know what you're doing. You're still walking around in circles. You're still walking in like the darkness. There's one beautiful scripture. It's beautiful in terms of what it reveals. It's not beautiful because of its effect. It says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the hardness or stubbornness of their heart. So many Christians are like that. Their understanding is darkened. So even all these things, they say confession, prayer, they don't really, they're saying it, they say the words, but they don't have an internal, personal revelation. What is confession? What is tongues? What's groaning? Do you have a revelation of it? Or are you just doing it? Now, that's a good place to start. Just to copy. There's nothing wrong in that. Just like children. You know? 2 times 2, 4. 4 times 4. You start like that. No problem. Amen? So they learn it by rote. Then after some time, you now say, the reason why 2 times 2 is 4. Say, take 2. Then take 2. Then count 1, 2, 3, 4. Can you see? So you do not just say 2 times 2 is 4. You now understand why 2 times 2 is 4. So it is with revelation. You begin to, aha! That's why I have to pray. That's why I have to use life scriptures. That's why I have to groan. That's why I have to travail. That's why I have to speak in tongues. That's why I can't speak in tongues for 5 minutes and cut it. Because 5 minutes in the realm of the spirit releases only a certain amount of power. Whereas 1 hour. Because the thing is cumulative. As one is coming out, another one is building on it. Another one is building on it. By the time you finish 1 hour, you scatter the devil and all his principalities. That's why they can do everything they can get to try and divert you. Because once you do 5 minutes, 10 minutes, say, this is getting too hot for us. He knows that. I'll tell you something, I've said it many times, and I say it by revelation because I know. Satan is more afraid of you than you are of him. The only difference is that he knows it and you don't. I'm going to repeat it. The devil is more afraid of you than you are of him. The only the problem there is that he knows it and you don't know it, and he's praying, if he can pray, he's hoping, hope against hope, that you will never know. Then he can still fool you around and push you all over the whole place, because the day you know, you become his master. Give the Lord a clap offering. Oh, glory to God. I got to rush today. I don't have the time. I can't go through all of these prayers because I've taught them over the years. They're in all our books. So I'm going to give you homework. You go and study. Every prayer is important in its place. Number one. Number two, you cannot substitute one for the other. I learned that by revelation. I had an experience as a young Christian. I came back from England. I was had revelation knowledge. I came back to Nigeria, you know, went to Brother Emiko. You know, in those days, you know, we used to go to all the Christian fellowships like ECU of Ife, Ilorin, IVCU. And to the glory of God, I must be honest. I'm going to be very honest. You know, I was ahead. Even though I was a Christian 1.5 years. But my understanding and my revelation knowledge was far ahead of many of the people who were around me, you know, who had been Christians for years before me. And they all acknowledged it, you know, and I gave God the glory and all of that. But pride crept into my heart. I didn't know. Well, looking back now, I know what happened. You know, because they used to invite me to preach. I was a kid. I was 21, 22 years old. If I go to IVCU, I preach, the whole house will come down. Because I preached revelation knowledge that most of them didn't understand. Even though I was a younger Christian. You know? So, I mean, I had a lot of revelation to the glory of God. E.W. Kenyon, I'm going to talk about that, you know, soon. You know, Ken Hagen, Kenneth Copeland, and all of this. Gosh. You know? So, you know what? I thought I had arrived. True story. Actually, well, I mean, what else is there?
I mean, I know this, I know that, I know that. And I did. So, I stopped praying the Pauline prayers the way I used to. I pray maybe once in 2 weeks. You know, I'm going to need people. Yeah. I'm telling you the truth. I had this. And after a while, some months, darkness started creeping in. Things that were clear to me no longer were so clear. God had to get a hold of me. He said, come here. He said, you think you arrived there? He said, you've not arrived anywhere. He said, your attitude is wrong. So I had to repent. He said, and learn this lesson. This is where I learned it from. Revelation is progressive and continuous. You will never get to the place where you have it all. From that day to this day, to the glory of God, I have not stopped praying the Pauline prayer. I prayed it today. If you use our keeping yourself in love of God, you will pray it. In that particular prayer, I've put about 3 or 4 prayers together. The Ephesians prayer is there. The Colossians prayer is there. The Philippians prayer is there. You know, you find in all our books, you find all those prayers. All the 7 of them, some of them are not individual. Some of them are put into each other, maybe 2 or 3 prayers in one. But the important thing is that you need to pray for spirit of wisdom and revelation. You need to pray for love, that your heart become rooted and grounded in love. It won't happen by wishing. It will come by prayer. So you need to pray all of these prayers for yourselves. Why? So that you can grow into the fullness of Christ. The reason why many Christians think that the goal of Christianity is heaven is because of the lack of revelation. The goal of Christianity is not heaven. Heaven is a gift. The thief on the cross went to heaven. So there's hope for you. I said that jokingly, but it's true. That's not my goal. My goal is to become like Jesus in this lifetime. And I need revelation for that. Look at the Apostle Paul praying for those people. He said, you know, the Ephesian church, you know, that you might know the hope of his calling, which is to be conformed to the image of Jesus. Then he prayed the Ephesian 3 prayer for them, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. It means they were not, even though they were filled with the Holy Spirit. So being filled with the Holy Spirit is not all the fullness of God, because the Holy Spirit is the only Spirit with measure. These prayers, they give you a, you know, the answer to them is not the prayers themselves. It's the Holy Spirit operating through you praying those prayers will now begin to give you understanding and revelation. Then you will not be satisfied with this mediocre Christianity. This Christianity that is satisfied with any and everything. You know, what Satan has done, and cleverly so, you know, is to give us substitutes. So instead of revelation and going to the fullness of Christ, he gives you a car. He said, man, you've arrived. Nobody has this kind of car in Nigeria. You are the most anointed pastor. Don Williams, not you. You're the most anointed. Ah! Nobody has the kind of house you have. Nobody has the kind of church you have. Ah! Aircon, see how things are just blowing. God has blessed you. So we now substitute material blessings for spiritual destiny. And it's worked. The deception has been very, very effective. So many pastors, you know, when they say, you know, we say, what's your vision? I want to have a church in Lekki. What's a vision? Yeah. I want to have a church. Oh, I want to be on radio, and I want to be on television, on CBN, you know, and in America, and all of that. If I can be on television, and I can have so many thousands of people, man, I've arrived. That now becomes their vision. Healings and deliverances, and people coming, and the church is full of thousands of people, and I have a lot of offering. Wow! You can have all of that and not have divine approval. Because you can get it by gifts, but not get it by fruit. And I'll tell you another thing. If you get it by gifts and not by fruit, and you don't develop the fruit, the gift will become corrupted. So you will go like Balaam. You know Balaam was a true prophet of God? But his greed and covetousness corrupted the gift. That has happened to many of our pastors, many of our teachers, many of our prophets today. Genuine gift originally, genuine, but has been corrupted over the years because they did not emphasize fruit, they emphasized gifts. I got to close. Now, three or four things that are very important, and that's where the message of last week dovetails with this one as I close. And it is this. Things you need so that these Pauline prayers will be, God will be able to answer them in your heart. Number one, the attitude of humility and submission. No matter how much you pray the Pauline prayer, if your will, see, this is your spiritual anatomy, your inner man, your belly, then your soul is up here. The object, if I can use that expression, is spiritual. Between your spirit and your soul is your will. Then on top of your will, you have your mind. Then on top of your mind, you have your emotions. Is your emotions now connect to your body? That's the way the spiritual anatomy is. So if something is going to come from your spirit into your mind, your will must be open. If your will is closed, no matter how much light is inside your spirit, it will not penetrate the mind. That is why you have people who pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and not get revelation. That's why last week's message was a precursor to this one. If you do not have the attitude and the spirit of submission, Pauline prayers won't work for you. I've been a pastor for almost 40 years, over 30-something years. I have seen people come to this church and go. And they pray and pray and pray and they don't get it. Because the attitude is wrong. It's just simple. The will is like a trap door. Once it's locked, no matter how much light is coming from the spirit, it will not penetrate the mind. And they will never have understanding. The Bible says, ever learning, but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. You know, and it's not just, forgiveness, submission, humility, offense, all these things are revelation blockers. It will block the light out. I've discovered, even my own personal experience, there are times I'm praying, revelation is flowing, all that. Maybe I have an argument with my wife, and I have a wrong attitude, I just find the light goes off. It's happened to me before. Not once, not twice. And I have to go back and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Now I go to my wife and I have to apologize. Then the light goes back on. And you know, many of us, we continue like that for 2 weeks. Sometimes we continue for months. Some we continue with it for years. Holding grudges. I don't know what kind of man he is, though. I don't know what kind of woman he is, though. And you want your prayer to be answered. The Bible says, dwell with them according to knowledge, that your prayers, your Pauline prayers, be not hindered. You're not going to go far in this God thing if you don't change your attitude. If I stop now and say the grace, I finish my job. But so you need to check your attitude. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it or through it flow the forces of life. You're not going to go far. That's why I discovered the whole, people preach these things cherry pick. Cherry pick means I take this one, I don't take this one. You can't do that in God. You got to take the whole package. Are you listening to me? You want to go far with prayer and all those things, the attitude of humility and love must be there. Because if it's not there, the will blocks those things. Are you listening to me? Number two, you need to pray those prayers for yourself. First of all, attitude. Then pray the prayers for yourselves daily. It doesn't take 10, 15 minutes. Pray. You know, Ephesians 3, Colossians 1, Philippians 1, 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 Thessalonians 3, 2 Thessalonians 3, and 2 Thessalonians 1. It doesn't take long. God has helped, by the mercy and the grace of God, I summarized all for you in our book, Keeping Yourself in Love of God. If you pray those and you use our other book, Perfecting the Love of God, all those prayers are there. Easy. You can pray them in 10, 15 minutes every day. Then on top of that, you pray in tongues.
You see, Paul prayed that prayer for them in Ephesians. But you also see the same Paul say, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. Hello? Then when he finished, of course, Lemon could finish. He gives them those instructions, Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 3. You know, I pray for you. Then he now tells them about, you know, Ephesians chapter 5, and husband, love your wife, submit one to another. Then he says, finally, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Take unto you the whole, not part two. I got news for you. That's why I gave that last prayer about a year or two ago. You know, fill and cover with love, joy, peace. You have to put the whole thing on. You can't say, I like peace, but I'm not really ready for long suffering. What if it's on me door there? Hello? What if it's on me di mumu? I'm long suffering. I'm not stupid. I want my prayers answered. You who think you're making me mumu, I'm going to draw rings around you very soon. And you won't even know it was me who drew the rings. Because, you see, the man who walks in love, nobody can defeat him. Nobody. That was what John learned. You know, of all the three of them, John was the one that didn't talk much. Remember, Peter was the... James too was, you know, but John was just like, you don't, even in his book, he doesn't talk about himself. He's at the end, he now says, this is that disciple, you know. Of all of them, he was the only one Jesus made the suggestion that he will never die. He told Peter that, you know, when you are young, but when you are old, somebody will carry you where you don't want to go, you know, and all of that. But with John, so Peter said, what shall this man do? You know what Jesus said? He said, if I will that he tarry, shall I come? What's your business? Will it be translations? Now, people now went around and said, amongst disciples, the rumor now went around that Jesus said that John will never die. But John said, Jesus didn't say I wouldn't die. He just said that if I were, and you know they couldn't kill John. They couldn't kill him. He learned to perfect the love of God. You're not a mumu. Everybody say love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance, patience. I'm going to put all of them on daily. You can't cherry pick. You can't say I like this and I don't like it. You have to put all of them on daily so that they become a part of you. Because that's what God is like. Are you listening to me? So you need to pray the prolonged prayers for yourself daily. You need to pray in tongues and groanings. And then you need to read your Bible every day. That's the four things. I've practiced this thing for over 40 years now. I'm telling you from experience. That's why you can follow me. I say this to the glory of God. As I have followed Christ, I can tell you this, how it works. You can't cherry pick. Pauline prayers are very important, but attitude is crucial. If your attitude changes, you block the prayer. So attitude, then the Pauline prayers, then praying in tongues and groanings, and then daily Bible reading. When you put all the ingredients together, the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So I come here every Sunday to the glory of God. I say to the glory of God. You say, I come this Sunday, another revelation. Next Sunday, another one. I say, well, where is this pastor getting this thing from? I just told you the secret today. Let us pray. Stand to your feet. I just told you the secret today. That's where I get it from. I watch my attitude. We went somewhere this morning, you know, my wife and I. You know, and when we got there, we went to sit a little bit to the back. That's what Jesus said we should do. We went to sit just a little bit to the back. We sat down. I was very comfortable where we were, weren't we? Very comfortable. Somebody now came up. I don't even know the person. He said, Pastor, when he came up, you know, madam, they took us right to the front. Then they had a special seat where all the where the pastors would sit. Then they asked me to sit in the very first place. When the archbishop came in, you know, when he came back, they told me, archbishop, I went to go and greet you. Ah, he said, pastor, it's good to have you. You know, I was the first person. I didn't put myself there. And I would not have minded if I stayed in the other place. You see, these things, they are little, little things. But they go and check your attitude. Check your attitude. And let me tell you, charity begins at home. What's your attitude to your wife? What's your attitude to your children? What's your attitude to your husband? I got news for you. What's your attitude to your house girl? What's your attitude to your driver? Maybe those are things that are blocking your revelation knowledge. Maybe those are the things that are blocking the revelation. Attitude. All the bams are. Okay, block prayer. There you go. Father, give me spirit of wisdom and revelation. Shama Pariwo. Just making noise. That though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, if I don't have love, I'm a tinkling cymbal. The polar prayer will not work. The tongues will not work. The Bible reading will not work. You will get the mental knowledge. You will not have the revelation knowledge. You can read the Bible and know it like a theologian. There are theologians that know more Bible than me, but never knew what God said once. Because you get what God said by revelation. Let's talk to God. Talk to God. The Pauline prayers. That's the title of this message. What a message. The Pauline prayers. The train of Israel fills the sky. Sorry for my wrong key. You take the right key. Heavenly worship surrounding. Hallelujah. Fingers, don't hurt yourself. Just gently raise your other hand to God. The biggest problem in the church today is spiritual blindness. He says in the book of Peter, he says, he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar. People don't see afar off. That's why natural, material things are so important to them. They're not heavenly minded. They can't see beyond their nose. It's revelation that light, spiritual, not natural light, spiritual light that shines into your mind through your will. Of all those things I mentioned, praying the Pauline prayers, praying in tongues, reading your Bible, all of them are very important, but the most important is the will. And the good thing about the will is that you can do it in 1 second. That's why it's free. You still have a free will. You can choose to forgive. You can choose to be humble. You can choose to be kind. You can choose to be understanding. Or you can choose to be stubborn. You can choose to be difficult. It's all a choice of your will. You want those eyes to be enlightened? Watch your will every day. Every day, set your will. It's in one of our prayers. I set my will. I set my will. Your will can change because of the vicissitudes of life and the problems. Even Jesus' will. You know, in Gethsemane, it's in one of the Bible readings we did recently. You know, under pressure, the will, then he moved it back. He moved it back. Check your will every day and move it back in place. Don't assume it's okay. That's why you need to judge yourself. Check that will so that the eyes of your understanding. Mine eyes now see the King, the Lamb upon the throne who reigns forever. Many Christians don't see God because the scripture is clear. It says, blessed are the pure in heart. Talking about purity of motive, for they shall see God. How did Moses endure? By seeing that invisible. David said, I have set the Lord always. How did he do it? He had light in his mind because he had a right attitude. He said Moses was the meekest of all men on the face of the earth. It's that attitude that makes you see God, and it's the wrong attitude that doesn't make you see God. No matter all the other things, the prayer, the confession, the tongues, the reading of the Bible, all of those things, they bring light, but they come from the Spirit. If the will is wrong, even when the Spirit is right, the light will not be able to shine into the mind. Touch those eyes and raise the other hand. Say, Father, I confess our sins, especially sins of pride, unforgiveness, stubbornness. I receive the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this afternoon, reminding me that I need to follow the pattern disciple, Paul, in order to become like the pattern son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And to do that, I need to pray these Pauline prayers for myself as a daily habit, receiving afresh and increasingly the Spirit
of wisdom and revelation. Oh God, have mercy on me. Help me daily to judge myself, to make sure my will is in line with your will, that my will is not stubborn, is not in pride, is not in unforgiveness, to block revelation knowledge flowing from my spirit into my mind. Oh God, oh God, oh God, have mercy on me. I receive fresh mercy. I receive fresh grace to be consistent in praying these Pauline prayers for myself daily with an attitude of humility, submission, and love. And then on top of that, to pray in the Spirit with tongues and travail. And then on top of that, to read my Bible so that the entrance of your word will give me light and revelation knowledge. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the Spirit. Mercy, Lord. Mercy, Lord. Ziki to frene, lambre delas, mercy Lord, saka kromatolo, lambre kromatolo, lambre duftu frishin gargo kromatolo mustu frishin. Zifre, lambre kromatolo, matolo mustu fri duftu frishin gars. Longer do kromatolo mustu fri di frishin gardolo, lambre kromatu fri ne fre, no fri, no frine, longaras, kolomers, jete tu frine, lambre dolos, tu frine, dongroma as, tolo mustu frine, ne akatu frine. Jeque tu frenes, tu lo mato fres, tu lo macho, nea tu frenes, nombre de las, jeque tu frenes, tu frenes, donga la mato fres, tu lo mato fres. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Who in the days of his flesh offered up prayers and supplication with strong kind and was heard in that he feared. What opened the door? Attitude. Honesty and humility. That was the key. It wasn't because he was a son. It wasn't because he prayed with strong crying. It wasn't because he prayed with tears. He was heard in that he feared. That's all, folks. Keep that fear of the Lord, that honesty and humility of heart. You have no problem with your prayers. You have no problem with your prayers. I just got a text or a fax or a tweet, whatever you want to call it. There are many of you, and this will encourage you, you're going to preach better than me. It's already happening. You need to come and hear them in Zion City Fellowship. Sometimes prof, sometimes laulu, sometimes praise. Sometimes I'm up there in my study and they don't know I'm hearing them. They're sharing things with the younger people. They're repeating some things I said, but as they talk, God gives them fresh things. There is no reason why any of you should not surpass me. I didn't hear amen. No reason. That's the true dream of every father. Jesus said we will do greater works. I'm saying you will do greater teaching, greater preaching. There's some of you are going to go to Afghanistan, and I mean that seriously. You're going to go to Iran. You're going to go to China. You're going to go to Congo. You're going to go to Morocco. You're going to go to places. Sometimes we'll leave you there for 3 months. It's only you that we can trust. And you go and teach. You plant a church. And you will teach the people. All these things you've been hearing all these years here, you begin to bring them. And they'll come with new revelation. They'll come in a fresh way. It will even be more powerful than the way I'm saying it. Oh, it's coming. Prepare. 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 You won't go forever, don't worry. You come back home. To your families. It's true. Some of you will go for a week. Some will go for a month. Some will go for 3 months. Some will go for 6 months. Some will go for a year. In between that year, they can come home for a week, do a holiday, then go back again. You know, it's different places. We've got a great job ahead of us. Stop playing church. Mommy, join me.
Please, brethren, Good Morning Jesus is going to be 1 year. On the 1st of July. And I just want to share with you briefly now that the reason that Good Morning Jesus came to be is because of this.
Yes.
Because I saw Pastor so far away. And we were so far from him. And I'm like, oh my God, the heart desire of every parent is that the children be greater and surpassed. Lord, how much of these are our children doing? Lord, can you help me? Show me a way where I can be a helper, a homework helper, so that they can each day. Everyone knows that, like, if we're giving homework in school, you're not left to yourself. People make sure you actually do the homework. And it's in the actual doing of the homework that you get the understanding and the knowledge and you're blessed. That's what Good Morning Jesus is all about. That every day. And if you see most of the things Pastor preaches, they're in small doses in there. And if we can be consistent and doing that daily, we will never be the same. Do a check, fact check. Look at your life a year before now. And look at it close to 1st of July. And if you haven't seen much, it's not because you're not doing well. And you can still quickly do something before 1st of July. But if you have seen, let's keep increasing. Because truly, that is what it's all about. My heart of a mother, heart of a father, is that I sit with us. And with God, both of us, I and the sons, with the team, we keep doing this thing over and over. And you see, light. You see, in your light, I see light. In your light, I see light. You don't want to blunt the arrows of faith. These are things. You know, little messages that you keep hearing every day. Every day being conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are light and in us there's no darkness. Every day we can never remain the same. Brethren, don't make it an effort. It's not easy. But as you make it, we become transformed, we become changed, we become lifted, we become, you know, you can see the church, the whole configuration changes. Even the configuration of our amen. Hallelujah. See, it's important. God brings out things over men of color so that our men will not be hindered. They will not be inhibited. They're breaking boundaries. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I just thought to share it. Amen.
Very, very important. You know, do a what I call a love metric. Metric just means something you measure. My love. My joy, my peace, my long suffering, my gentleness, my meekness, my patience. Check yourself and say, Lord, thank you for this and help me move forward.
Brethren, and you know something? Even me, I was telling people, I said, even if nobody comes for Good Morning Jesus, I'm sure you've heard me say that. I say, I must continue to come because my life is 19. I am not the same person again. So in helping others, I'm actually helping myself. God bless you. So you don't think it's you we're talking that way. We're also saying it to ourselves, eh?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail. Above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation in the perfection of the fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparted to you the anointing of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, tell them to say, you increase in the spirit of wisdom and revelation. God bless you. Hallelujah.